Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. Know that he, the Lord, is our God. He hath made us, and not we ourselves, for it's in him we live, we move, and have our being. Glorious and victorious day it is, Sunday, June 26, 2016, another day that the Lord hath made. We are rejoicing here with Anna from on high and being glad in it. For we know that our God, the blessed creator of the universe, is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because through him we have access, accessibility to the Father, to the very wealth and the very riches of the kingdom of heaven. For there is but one mediator between man and God, and that is our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we recognize that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. And when we say, the scripture has said, every knee, that means believers' knees, unbelievers' knees, atheists, agnostics, Muslims, Buddhists, First Day Adventists, Seventh Day Adventists, it doesn't matter, Shinto, all types of knees are going to bow. Even Satan himself, the lying wonder of mankind, the deceiver of the nations, he has to bow. Even his imps and his minions must bow and acknowledge the royal majesty in the name of Jesus. For it's in the name of Jesus that we have the victory. And we're praising God. You're on Manna from on high. You've got your host with Lone from Coast to Coast, the Esquire, Abby and Shelton with your Motor City Mile Ronnie. So glad to have with me gracing the podium with me today is accomplished author and motivational presenter, Brother James Brown Jr., who asked us a simple question over a year ago: are you an asset or a liability to the kingdom of God? Well, since then, great things have been moving along the line. And as we bring today's message forward, we're going to definitely have him to step up and step out and speak with us, saith the Lord, in his heart, as according to how the Holy Spirit governs in him. And let me tell you, listening audience, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Spirit that we speak of that brings about the dunamis effect is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, the Teacher. That's right. He's the empowerer of every Christian believer. So it's through the Holy Spirit that we are led and guided into all levels of truth, truth about ourselves, truth about the world around us, truth about the hidden things that are occurring in our today's society, things past, things present, and things to come. This is our divine teacher. So to God be the glory for his unspeakable gift that keeps opening doors and shutting down the definite hidden agendas of the enemy. For we realize that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And after I read the opening scripture, in which we're going to be speaking from, the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who was the prophet who was not afraid to call them up and call them out. That's why he was not afraid to tell them that they were dumb dogs, that they were following their own doctrine, that they were seeking their own righteousness, because he realized that God's hand of judgment was being wrought upon mankind because of disobedience. So after reading our opening scripture, we're going to have our blessed and wonderful brother, my friend, your friend, Brother James Brown, to come and give us words of wisdom and tell us about what's coming up in his definitely soon-to-be successful publication that's going to hit the market real soon. The 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, get your Bible. Remember, your Bible is your sword. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Whose report, this is the first verse, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We're going to get into that because it's very deep, because many of us have children and grandchildren that have attended an educational establishment. And we know that the end of the year report card is what really justifies either promotion or demotion? And we're going to ask you, what does your report card say when we're measuring up your deeds, your seeds, which are your seeds and your actions, in accordance to the Word of God? For the Word of God is the benchmark for every Christian believer who's seeking to please God and to live a wonderful life upon this terrestrial terrain, also known as the earth and today's society. Second verse said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he has no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with the grief. And we hid it as if it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Fifth verse, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Sixth verse, as all we, like sheep, have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Amen. God has already added a blessing to the reading of this word, and we lay the foundational mechanism for today's manna from on high session. We're going to have Brother James Brown to grace our podium at this time. Thank you for being with us on this glorious and victorious Sunday it is. Sunday, June 26, 2016, Brother Brown.
The Lord, it is such a blessing to be with you and your listening audience once again. Yes, I am Brother James Brown, and I do thank God for this opportunity to share this platform with you. Yes. I know it was an opportunity that only God could open this door for me, and I do greatly appreciate it, and I don't take it lightly or in vain. I thank God for it. But I also, before I go into this message, I would like the listeners to, and I, as I always do on my Blog Talk Radio show, I always ask the listeners to get your Bibles out, as you already forestated. Get your Bibles out because we do go through the Word of God, and we want you to be able to see it for yourself.
Yes.
I don't want you to take her word or my word for it. We want you to be able to read it for yourself and see what thus said the Lord to us today. Before I go into this message on today that the Lord has given me for the listeners on today, The subject is powerful men submitting to God.
Yes.
Again, today's topic is going to be powerful men submitting to God. But before I go into that word, I want to share this short testimony. I was at death's door almost 25 years ago.
Yes.
And I started having seizures, and I had what they call a grandma seizure, which is the worst kind that you can have.
Yes,
and I chewed out part of my tongue, and it damaged all the nerves in my left arm. And I was in the hospital, they called Code Blue. And the doctors told my family they can start preparing my family, my funeral arrangement, because if I had a seizure, that I was going to be dead. But when I came to the next day in my private room, I had a private talk with the Lord. I told the Lord these simple words. I said, Lord, I cannot work for you if I'm dead. I know you have more work for me to do.
Yes.
And ever since that day, almost 25 years ago, I only go to the doctors now on an every 3 month basis, and that's to get my blood work done and for them to check my medicine. But other than that, I have not been into the hospital as a patient since then. So I'm grateful to God tonight that since then, He has given me the opportunity, and I didn't know why he did it, but the first book that he gave me to write for him that would give him glory, the book is titled, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God?
Yes.
And that's a good question for all Christians today, because sometimes we can be in the Word of God, or we can be trying to live upright and be Christ-like, but
that's
we can still, in some form, be a liability to the kingdom of God. It could cause somebody to stumble and not see Jesus and not accept Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life, and then that blood is going to be on your hand. So I thank God that he gave me this book to write, and it has been such a blessing to the body of Christ, and not only to the body of Christ, but to even to sinners that have read the book. And so I get all kind of reports all the time about this book. And so I thank God that I stood on His word, and I stepped out on faith, and I wrote it. And it's out. It's been out for like 2 years, 2 or 3 years now. And then it has a reflective journal that goes with it. And also, since then, I just released a book that's called God, the Universe, and Man. And the subtitle is How We Are Connected. You know, scientists always talk about the Big Bang Theory, but we did not come into existence because of the Big Bang Theory, or we did not come out of the form of gorillas or apes. God created man out of His own image. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, His breath. Yes. Then man became a living soul. So I thank God for this book, God, the Universe, and Man. And the subtitle was How We Are Connected. And now I'm about to release part two of Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And the part two topic for that book is Are You Scattering My Flock? So that's part two of Are You a Liability? And that book will be released very soon. And they're all available at Amazon.com. So I just wanted to get that out. And it all goes back to my testimony. All glory goes to God. And through that, the Lord opened the door for me to be able to host my own internet radio show, which is titled Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? And it's comes on every first and every third Thursday at 8, from 8 to 9 p.m. and also every first and every third Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. through Blog Talk Radio and Kingdom Builders Internet International Ministries. So that is my testimony. Thank God that He could have took me out. He could have allowed me to leave this world and not fulfill my God purpose. But I know that He had not finished with me yet. I knew that He had more work for me to do. And look what God has done. And not only that has He given me the position as a Blog Talk Radio host, now He has blessed me to become one of the directors of Blog Talk Radio through Kingdom Builders International Ministries. So it's all the glory goes to God. I'm not bragging. I'm just grateful that God is still using me. And just like He's using me, He can use you too, because we all have a purpose in life. God did not give you life just for you to be here and just to exist. He have a purpose for your life. Even those that are listening that may not be saved and do not know Jesus Christ, one of the main things that I love that God says in His word, and He said above all things that He wished that no soul would perish, that no soul would be lost. And so that is the mandate for the body of Christ today, is to go into the hedges and the highways and preach and teach the word of God and the love of God, and that God loves all people. He do not love sin, but He loves all people. So I thank God for Him still using me and allowing me to be still here in the land of the living. So that is my testimony that I had to share with the listeners before we go into the Word of God on tonight. And again, this word that is coming through me from the Word of God is titled, once again, Powerful Men Submitting to God.
Yes.
And I'm going to be coming from the King James Version of the Bible for all these different scriptures. So that's why I say get your Bibles out, get your pens, you can write down these scriptures. First of all, I want you all to know that men, not only men, but I want the world to know, but especially men, because we're talking about powerful men submitting to God on tonight.
That's right.
You do not necessarily have to have fathered children in order to be a powerful man of God. I'm going to say that again. You do not necessarily have to have biologically have fathered children to be a powerful man of God. And I'm a witness, because of me, myself, I do not have children. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and God has placed me around a lot of people, and people watch our lives, and they can see God working through you. You don't have to say a word. They can see God working in you. So you are a powerful man of God when you don't have to open your mouth and people can see Christ in you. That lets you know that you're a powerful man of God.
That's right.
Powerful men of God are positive role models, or they try to be positive role models to their families and also to the world, all for God's glory. And that is so important that I must say that again. Powerful men of God. Especially today, we know they were powerful men of God in the Old Testament, like Moses and all those men that God used that was in the Old Testament, that God, they were powerful men of God. But God still has powerful men that He's using in the world today. And again, so that is why it's so important that powerful men of God, even today, yes. are positive role models to their families and to the world,
yes,
for God's glory, not for their own glory, but for God's glory.
Yes.
Also, powerful men of God exemplify holy boldness. They demonstrate holy boldness.
Uh-huh.
And we can find that in the book of Psalms, chapter 111, verse 6. If you would, if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to a Psalm, the book of Psalms.
Yes.
Again, chapter 111 and verse 6. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I read that. I'm looking at something else. I was talking about. Well, I should have said we was looking. That should have been First Peter. I'm sorry. First Peter chapter 5 verse 6.
All right.
And I do want to speak about holy boldness, and that is going to be found in Psalms 1:6, verse 111 and verse 6. But while we're talking about this, powerful men of God, they also exemplify humility.
Right.
Because you're humble and meek, that does not make you weak. Some people look at a Christian today, especially men, they look at you as a Christian, and they say, oh, you're humble, oh, you're meek, we can walk all over you. God did not make us doormats for people to walk all over us.
We
can be humble and meek, but not weak. So therefore, that's why I said in the First Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
That's right.
So that's why we should be mighty, powerful men of God even today. We can still be humble and meek, but not weak. Now we're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 111, verse 6, which talks about holy boldness.
That's powerful, as you're getting to that Psalm. And, you know, this is the reason why the Lord just led me to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, as we talked about what does your report card say as you being a powerful man of God. What is your checkpoint, benchmarks that you're exonerating in your life? Because you've made very interesting points there, Brother Brown. A powerful man of God doesn't raise his hand to his wife. He's not quick to get angry. He's not, you know, sly as a result of a reflection of his character. He does not ignore the complexities of society. He's not only active, he's proactive, not only in prayer, but in his actions, because by our actions, mankind shall know that we are the children of God. We don't lay there and play domicile. We rise up as the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violence taken by force, the powerful man of God taking it by force, because he knows that the weapons of his warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm a witness to that, and that is a true fact. I can attest to that myself.
Yes.
Okay. So, again, back to the book of Psalms 111, chapter 111, verse 6. We're talking about holy boldness of powerful men of God on tonight. And it says, He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen.
Yes.
Also, just as you just forestated, and I had that in my notes to speak on, and you just said that that's how the Holy Spirit works. He always confirms his word. And it was talking about what you just said. I was talking about powerful men of God, they are to exemplify and show and demonstrate love to their families, to the wife, to the mother of their children.
Yes.
You don't just talk to your wife or the mother of your children in any kind of way, whether you had a bad day on the job or things didn't go your way. You still have to exemplify the powerful man of God that you are, even in your homes and on your job, in your community, everywhere you go. You are a powerful man of God, and know that people are watching you.
Yes.
We must live godly lives on a daily basis. It becomes known as a lifestyle. It's not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday when you go to Bible class. It's every day. It's a lifestyle, powerful man of God.
You know that
you are a powerful man of God when you it becomes a lifestyle. And people can see Jesus in you without you even opening your mouth.
That's right.
And so you do not have to be a pastor or elder or a minister of the gospel to be a powerful man of God.
That's right.
In the book of Ephesians, if you have your Bibles open, I hope you do, let's take a look at what it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6.
Yes.
In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that means you, powerful man of God, you, God is in you, and God is in Jesus Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So we have everything that we need to walk this walk that God has called us to walk, to be powerful men of God, today, even today. As we know that and see things are out of order, we still can be powerful men of God.
Yes.
However, and I must say again, however, fathers are powerful men of God who do have children. They don't just send their children to church or their families. They go to church with their families and their children. They take them to church.
That's right.
You are a living example when you can go to church with your children and you can sit up under the word and you're showing your children that because you are in Christ, you are learning and you're also developing and you are hearing and being doers of God's word. So you don't just, a powerful man of God don't just send their children and their wives to church. They go with them.
That's
because you need a word from the Lord. You need a word from the Lord just like your children and your wife do. You need a word of God so that you can continue to be powerful, a powerful man of God, and set good examples in your home and in your community and on your job, everywhere you go.
Yes.
So don't leave it up to the schools. Don't leave it up to the school systems or to the church to raise your children. That is the duty of a powerful man of God, is to raise your children, set good examples everywhere you go, because your children, not only are your children and your wives and your neighbors are watching you, but the whole world is watching you. Most of all, God is watching you. You got to know that God is sitting high and he's looking low.
Amen.
And he's taking notes. So what is, as you said earlier, what is your report card going to reflect when you stand before God?
Ooh-wee.
In the day of judgment, powerful man of God. You said you're a powerful man of God. What is your report card going to look like when you stand before God?
Yes.
Is he going to tell you that you were a liability to the kingdom of God and you were not an asset to the kingdom of God, even though you said and claimed that you was a powerful man of God?
Yes.
So you will give an, you will, and we all will give an account when we all stand before God.
That's right.
Again,
that's right.
Powerful men of God, they take time with their children and families. They take time to teach their boys and their sons to become men.
Yes.
Most of all, God-fearing, powerful men of God. That's what you want to become, a powerful, God-fearing man of God. And then not to say that you're scared of God. That does not mean, when they say God-fearing, it's not talking about you're scared of God. That means you're giving reverence to God because of who he is.
That's right.
So we need to make it plain and make it known that because you said you fear God, no, God don't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to reverence him because of who he is. Because
that's
he's all-knowing, he's almighty, he's all-powerful.
Yes.
And that's why he wants his men that work and serve up under him, up under his son Jesus, to be powerful men of God. That's what Jesus was.
Yes.
Jesus Christ was God's son, but he was a powerful man of God.
That's
even in the earth when he came down and from glory out of his spiritual state and became flesh. He came down and he paid our sin debt with his own blood, and that we could all have free access to the kingdom of God, that we can all be saved. And that's the only way that we can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ, not God, because God, he is not everyone's father. And I need to get that straight, because a lot of people are misled. They think that a lot of people think that God is everyone's father. No, that is not true. God is everyone's creator. He created us all. But God is the father of those that have accepted his son, Jesus Christ. And who are trying to be Christ-like. Then you are God. Then God is your father.
That's
not until then. But you first must accept Jesus Christ in order for God to become your father. Again, he is everyone's creator, but he's not everyone's father.
That's right.
Also, in the book of Ephesians, going back to the book of Ephesians, God led me there today. This time we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes.
And I think it's verse 6 this time. I think last time we were in 6 and 4, but this time it's verse 4. Verse chapter 6 and verse 4. Yes, we're talking about provoking. The word of God talks about to the fathers, do not provoke your children. That's what you're going to find it in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. And it reads, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath,
yes,
but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. So, yes, you know, sometimes fathers can get mad and get angry, just like we all do at times. But he said the word of God tells us, you know, sometimes we can be mad and angry, but he said sin not. And so when we provoke our children as fathers, we're sinning against God. That's a sin, provoking your children, knowing that what you say out of your mouth is going to make them angry and may cause them to do something that they may regret or that you may regret. So we have to be, as fathers, you have to be so careful not to provoke your children. And I did not say that. That's what the Lord said. Do not provoke your children. You must show them love. Again, it goes back to what we said earlier. We must show them love by the way that you treat their mother, the mother.
That's right.
You must treat them and show them love by the way you treat them, and not only the mother, but you are the husband and your wife. You must
be careful. You're the head of the wife.
That's right. So you got to be careful how we open our mouths and what we let come out of our mouths.
We
should not just say anything. We should always seek God for answers so that we cannot provoke our children. Because, again, your children are watching you, whether they tell you or not. They are watching everything you do and everything you say. They are watching it. And then, God, if they go astray and do not accept Jesus Christ because of the way you live your life and you're supposed to be a powerful man of God, guess what? You're going to give an account to God.
That's right. Amen.
And that not only goes for you, that goes for me too.
Amen. That's right. And, Brother James, and I was just, as you were bringing that powerful word of knowledge, I was looking right here in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, and the 9th verse, and we talked about the perfect man, Jesus Christ, and how he made his grave with the wicked. I mean, he abode with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And taking on the sins of mankind, Jesus Christ, the perfect man, he didn't use profanity. He didn't violate his fist. He could have spoke one word, and God the Father would have sent a legion of angels to slay every one of those people in that place. But as a perfect man, as that empowered man, as that powerful man, having all power in heaven and earth in his hand, he remained humble because he realized he was a man on a mission. He was God in the flesh, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, Emmanuel, God with us. And then after his mission was accomplished, he ascended into heaven to sit on the right-hand throne of God. He didn't throw his weight around. He could have told him, do you know who I am?
Yes, that's right.
Me, and a powerful man carries an humble facade. As you said, he's humble, he's meek, but not weak. And
yes, Lord.
And this is a perfect example of the ideal man in which definitely sets the perimeter, sets the example, as you were saying. It's so powerful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I give all glory to God.
Yes.
And while we're speaking about powerful men of God, know this, that powerful men of God are prayer warriors.
Yes.
They are powerful in their prayers. So speaking of that, if you can turn to the book of 1 John, we're going to take a look at what it says in the book of 1 John chapter 3.
Yes.
And it says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and it says to us, listeners, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we, as powerful men of God, we got to do whatever we do. We have to do it to be pleasing unto God and not unto men, because we must realize and understand that as powerful men of God, we got to realize that we got to work while it's day. In the book, I'm not going to read this, but in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, we talk about working while it's day. You cannot do any work for the Lord when you're dead. That's why it is so important that we work for the Lord while it is day, while we have breath in our bodies, because we don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is going to come, when he's going to call us to come home to be with him. So, powerful men of God, we must work for the Lord while it is day, while we are alive, and while the blood is still running warm in our veins. And before we close, I want you all to know that pastors are our spiritual fathers and powerful men of God. That is, if they And I must emphasize, if they are truly called and anointed by God,
yes,
they are powerful men of God. So,
yes,
man of God on today, you continue to stand on God's word, continue to be the light of Jesus Christ in front of your family, your sons, your children, in your workplace, and everywhere you go, you can be the powerful man of God that he has called for you to be, even in these last and evil days, that God will be glorified through you.
Yes.
So I thank God for this opportunity to be able to share a word on tonight.
Oh, yes, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue on. And that is the powerful word of knowledge listening audience out there. We have some male participants who are sitting on this. I call you participants because you tuned in. You got turned on to the blogtalkradionetwork.com. Some of you join us by telephone, and you're seeking to find and to develop the character that God has imputed within you as the powerful words brought forth from the word of God through the scriptures to our brother James Brown, telling you that being a powerful man, you're a persuasive man. You don't have to throw your weight around. You don't have to assert yourself by how many women that you have. You don't have to exert yourself and assert yourself by the designer labels that you wear, by the fancy car that you drive, what your zip code is, and what your posture, your position is at your location of employment. Your character speaks. It either says you're powerful or you're weak. You're assertive or not assertive. You're successful or not. And it's not based upon the external factors of your existence. It's based upon the intrinsic factors of your character. And that is what Brother Brown was saying to you. You need to develop your character so that you can become that powerful man of God, empowered by design through the Holy Spirit. And that's a powerful word of knowledge to those men out there who are seeking to find that route. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all get lost. We all get displaced. Sometimes we all feel dishonored. But as men, you are the leaders. You are the shakers of society. And God is holding you account because, see, God is the head of every living creature. He's the divine creator of all things, both great and small. And Jesus Christ is our Messiah, our Lord of lords, our King of kings, our master of each and everything, and he is our high priest. He is our Savior and our Messiah. Then comes man, because man was made in the image of God, but what happened was that sin separated man from God's presence, because God cannot look upon unholiness because of his majestic posture. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. So Jesus Christ became our high priest. And he absorbed the infractions of mankind, as the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, has educated us upon. And then woman was taken from the side of man. She was taken out of the rib of mankind. So good man is the womb of man. Can you say that with me, listening audience? The woman is the womb, the enticement of God's mercy out of mankind, out of his side. And so, therefore, this is the way that the structure of society is supposed to be. But because we're living in an age and a time, we call it the informational age, we call it the age of confusion, because men have become lovers of themselves. They're ascribing to what they call the third gender. That's why they're living in ways that are perverse and adverse according to what the word of God has told them. They're living in abomination. And then the law is supporting their abominable behavior. Why? Because there's a chain of command that requires that mankind bow down to the worldly system. That's why. And because of the God of this world, or the initiator of this society, that's why mankind has become blinded by wealth, power, fame, and his own glory in the worldly sense, that he cannot perceive the truth of God. You can't perceive something. You can't even calculate it. You can't even relate to it. It's not relevant to you. And this is where we are. This is what's going on. And as a result of those things, we are in a catastrophic state that we're in. And our men are in jeopardy. Why are men even attacked even more so than women? Because men are the strongest defense in God's army. Isn't that right, Brother Brown? Men are the strongest defenses in God's army.
That's right.
So he's under attack. Attack the masculinity factor of a man. You have emasculated an entire generation. you have cursed them with a level of abominable behavior that is irrecompensable. And this is the reason why men are always attacked, because men carry the empire, but women assume the throne. Isn't that interesting? And the report cards Brother Ron was talking about, as about powerful men of God walking in the light of the truth, this is the reason why the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read that opening scripture, the first verse, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is saying to us, the prophet is saying, what have your actions been as it relates to validating the presence of God in your life, in your affairs? Has your report stated that you are making the passing grade, that you are walking favorably with God? You are walking in the empowerment area, that you are definitely an asset to the kingdom of God as opposed to being a liability? That you are definitely representing well your posture, your stature, the profession of your mouth? Because we are living epistles being read of men daily, and whatever your actions are, whatever your epistle reads, this is what man is going to receive as it relates to God being coexistent in your life. So he's asking, what does the report say? What is your report card? We're going to take it down to another level of in-depth relativity. What does your report card say? How obedient have you been to the word of God? Have you picked up the sword, which is the sword of the spirit, where you can isolate and neutralize the attacks of the enemy? Have you fallen on your knees as opposed to bringing up your fist to hit someone? Have you meditated upon the word of God both day and night, as opposed to getting involved in other things that are not profitable to your spiritual man? Have you spoken a kind word today? That's right, because in the words that you speak, there's life and there's spirit. That's right. Have you spoken words of encouragement? Sometimes it doesn't take the formulation of sweet words, but sometimes it takes strong words to encourage others. Who have you encouraged today? And your report card area of your grading scale, what would your level say as it relates to speaking words of exhortation to others? Have you been
speaking of that? Yes. And speaking of that, what you said, encourage, and the word of God talks about that, and that is so powerful that the word of God speaks about encouraging one another.
Yes.
We are to encourage one another in the Lord,
yes.
Not with our personal opinions or feelings, but what does the Lord say? How
yes.
do you encourage your brother or your sister in Christ in
yes.
the Lord through his
yes.
word? That's how we are to encourage one another.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I agree with you, Brother Brown. The word of God tells us, how would you say, to weep with those who weep and laugh with
That's
those
right.
who laugh. As a
yes.
word of encouragement, our presence does predicate those types of supporting guidelines. And if God were to grade you at this time, listening audience, what would your report say? Have you reached out to receive that person whom everybody has turned away from? We have a bad
wow.
habit, and I'm just speaking about all of us sometimes. We always benevolize those who already have, you know, those who already have accessibility. But to those who are living in necessity, we have a tendency to turn away from them. And see, the word of God charges us. What would our report card say? What does your report say? That we're to look after widows, I mean women who necessarily not so have just lost a husband, but women who don't have a husband. They don't have a support system in tandem. That's right. To look after the elderly. That's right. To look after those who are feeble, who may have psychological conditions, who may have physical limitations. We're to look upon them and to support them.
That's and the widows, that's right. And the widows and the orphans.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's the word. That's the word. That's right.
That's the word. But we're graded in that area. What have we done? No, we'd rather go to a person who has lucrativity and give them $100 for them to go on a vacation. Or we'd rather buy a gift for someone who's living lavishly as opposed to going next door to that woman who's struggling to feed her children every day. We'd rather do then, as a benevolent person who has transportation by paying their car note, that's right, because we want recognition, we want to have fame, and we want to be esteemed above others. But what about that young man who's going out there benevolent,
appointment. Did you consider putting a love gift in his hand of $50 saying, brother, be blessed, and I hope that your pursuit lands you in the right direction? What have we done? What does our prayer say as work of our of the very actions of our behaviors constitute? Mm-hmm. Have we respected those people who are striving, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? How many of us think about them and drop a love gift in the mail or drop by the house and say, this is something for you because I know you're a prayer warrior. I know you're going out in the community. I know you're not being compensated according to what your works are. Because these are the things that God's going to look at. We think this is a big and magnificent thing about the working of miracles. And we go as far as say, can we part the Red Sea? We think that God is just looking at those things. Those things are marvelous. Those things have taken place. But the minor miracles, the smaller miracles of feeding a family that didn't have a way out, of paying someone's, you know, financial obligation because their income was limited. These are the small miracles that add up in the kingdom of God. This is going to be part of our reward system. That's why, of course, God is going to allow us into the kingdom of heaven, but we will be rewarded according to our works. And this is what he's looking at. And we get the perfect example, this is why we're reading here, of Jesus Christ our Lord. He walked in obedience despite all that he had, all that was given unto him. He remained humble. He remained silent. He knew that the will of the Father had to be done and that his majestic posture had to be laid aside so that mankind would not be eternally separated from God the Father. And just looking at the 10th verse, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that means to allow him to take on our sins. He had put him to grief. That means he allowed him to endure these things. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. See, he knew no sin. But being the perfect man, the empowered man, the empowered man, he shall save his seed. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that's just what happened. It's because he was hunger for our hangups that we have now accessibility to God the Father, that you men out there, you can be the powerful man of God. Your report card can say that you are filled, that you are healed, that you are free, and that you
and speaking
have
of that, amen. Praise the Lord. And speaking of that, powerful men of God, just as you and I were talking earlier, we now, and Jesus spoke in his word, he said greater, when he sent this Holy Spirit, he said greater works that we shall do. And that's why we were talking about earlier how it is so, the internet is so, it could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. Because Jesus Christ, when he was in the flesh, he can only be in one place at one time.
Definitely.
But he knew that he was going to leave and go back to his Father in heaven. And so he said that he sent the Holy Spirit. And then he said, greater works that we shall do, powerful men of God, greater works that we shall be able to do, even through the internet. We can go through the internet and we can share God's word to people all over the world. We can reach millions of people sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's
not only in through the internet, but we are powerful men of God. When we go down through our neighborhoods and we go to the jails, we can minister to the jails and go to the convalescing homes.
Yes.
That's why I love being a musician. I love going to the to the jails, and I love going to the nursing homes, and I love the look on the people's faces, the seniors' faces that cannot get out to the house
praise
of the Lord.
Lord.
You can bring the Lord to them even through music. So we are powerful men of God. We can get on the internet and share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what that's one of our assignments as a Christian. He said, get out into the world and hit it in the highways and spread the good news of Jesus that will compel men, sinners, to come to Christ that they can be saved.
That's right. That's right. What a powerful message indeed, Brother Brown and listening audience. Get the word. That's right. The word validates everything that we're saying. We gave you projection of scripture and actual verses that you can explore the concept of where the Lord would have you to be and to reach that peak in your life that God can get the glory from your life because we're living epistles, and our epistles that speak of us should reflect the power of God moving in our lives. And Brother James Thomas, it's been a privilege to have you here. You got to come back real soon as I will be visiting you on Kingdom Builders Network and excited about part two of your book coming out. And again, I want you to very quickly give us that information about your book. We have 50 seconds on the air.
Okay, my books are your liability or an asset to the kingdom of God, and it also has a reference journal, reflective journal that goes with it. That book, as well as God, the Universe, and Man, the subtitle is How We Are Connected, and my new book, which is titled Are You Scattering My Flock?